I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's get to your Beltway Blitz. The teams in town you care the most about jammed into one segment. We got a lot of ground to cover here, including the Caps and the Wiz. Let's start off with the ball club opening on Thursday. Jesse Doherty covers the Nats for the Washington Post. Jesse, what questions are still unanswered about this roster as we get ready for opening day?
So there's a few things. One or two lingering injuries to Michael A. Taylor and Howie Kendrick. I'd expect those guys to start the season on the injured list. So now it's a matter of how the Nationals replace them. Andrew Stevenson would get the nod for Michael Taylor because the Nationals need a center field, a guy who can play center as their fourth option. And then from there, they could either get creative with an extra bullpen arm in place of Kendrick, or they'd have to choose between Austin Williams and Wander Suero for the seventh spot. So I'd say they either take those two guys and don't take an extra position player like Adrian Sanchez, or they choose between them and take Sanchez plus Williams or Suero. So those are the questions the Nationals are dealing with a few days left here.
Rate their spring. To me, last year, I remember at this point, there was a lot of like, yeah, it's not a big deal. It's spring training results. They didn't win many games. They were sloppy, running into outs, kicking the ball over the yard. Give me kind of your assessment generally of the month plus down in Florida.
Yeah, again, like I think the results don't necessarily correlate to the early season, but if I had to assess the baseball that I saw, I think the defense probably wasn't as crisp as you would like for a team saying it's going to really prioritize the small things on that side and to tighten up what was kind of a poor defensive showing throughout last season. And then but at the plate, I think they looked you know really good. I think there was a lot of power. You could see that it's not really going to be an issue with how the middle of the order hits the long ball. And I thought the starting pitchers, by and large, were really solid. And a lot of good results from Annabelle Sanchez and Jeremy Hellickson, who are two guys who you're going to really need results from if you want the rotation to reach its potential.
If fans listening right now are going to the ballpark today, assuming the weather allows the exhibition game to be played against the Yankees, what should they expect?
I'd say a few innings of the regulars, and Annabelle Sanchez is going to start. You'll probably see him throw around 80 pitches, so he'll pitch next Tuesday against the Phillies. So he does have a long break in between, but they'll want to see what he's like getting stretched out to almost a full start. And then you'll probably see a few of those arms like Wander Suero, Austin Williams, Justin Miller, guys who are maybe on the fringes and not quite totally solidified in a roster spot, fighting for a way to get on the 25-man to start the year.
You said he'll pitch next Tuesday against the Phillies. That's the Bryce Harper return April 2nd?
Yes, it is. Yeah, so the way the Nationals did it is they're going to start Jeremy Hellickson in the bullpen to start the year. So Max Scherzer will be lined up to go on normal rest that Wednesday, which is the second game against the Phillies. But Anibal will go, and they'll have a four-man rotation to start two times through before Jeremy joins. So it will be Anibal and then Max against the Phillies on the 2nd and 3rd.
Jesse, thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man. We'll be talking to you a bunch soon, I'm sure.
Yep, anytime, guys. Thanks.
There he goes. Hockey, please, Tom. Our buddy Double J Reagan covers the Washington Capitals for NBC Sports Washington. Jerry Jeff Reagan, last couple games, there's a moment on Family Guy when Stewie tries out for American Idol and he gets criticized and he goes, okay. That's how I feel about these last three games. Like, okay. Minnesota, kind of listless. They were okay against Philadelphia, not really that second period. Ended up with a win, but I want the pedal to the metal here heading into the postseason. Hard to feel great about it right this second, though, yeah?
Yeah, we saw pretty much the good, the bad, and the ugly the past week. They looked really good against Tampa. They looked just playing bad against Minnesota. And then yesterday's game was just ugly. They were playing against a team that they were clearly better than, and they still sort of slogged it out. So, you know, look, they're experimenting right now. They're trying to figure out what that defense is going to look like without Michael Kempney. And so they're throwing different pairings together. They're throwing different offensive lines together. They're trying to figure out who they are going into the playoffs because they're going to be missing a major piece of this team.
Yeah, go into that. We're trying to figure out the timeline and get more information and details on Michael Kempney. What's your best guess?
Well, Todd Rearing gave us somewhat of an update this morning. He said it is going to be a long-term injury. And really, the delay right now is and because they're determining what the treatment options are. And it sounds like surgery is on the table. So my best guess is I would be surprised if we see him this season in the playoffs. I would be stunned by that. You know, just with it, it's clearly a lower body. It's somewhere on the leg. I don't know whether it's knee, ankle. I don't know the specifics there, but just that general area, those things carry a pretty long timetable. So I would be surprised if we see him in the playoffs.
Jimmy Johnson, Reagan. And to be clear, it's not Jimmy Johnson, the coach. It's Jimmy Johnson, the NASCAR driver, Reagan, that I'm referencing here in this moment. Who needs to step up here these last week plus if the Caps are going to win the division and succeed in the postseason?
Well, you're going to probably need Nick Jensen to step up. He came in, was when he was traded, took a third pairing role with the Caps, but he was playing pretty much on the top pair in Detroit. Now you're going to need someone on that defense to step up because you just lost one of your top two defensemen. What complicates things is that he's a right shot defenseman. So Carlson is a right shot defenseman as well. So I don't know if we're going to see a lot of Carlson Jensen, but you might. I mean, at this point, you have to go with what you have. So he's someone who definitely needs to step up. And then you need Evgeny Kuznetsov to step up. We haven't seen since the first month of the season the dominant player who we saw in the playoffs. He's got to get it going because if you don't get it going now, it's hard to flip that switch. You just can't go into the playoffs sleepwalking and then hope to be at the level that this team needs him at. So those are two guys, I think, in particular, who are going to really need to step up their game for the Caps to pull out the division win.
JJ, thank you, buddy. Great insight.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you, Bob.
Let's get to the hoops side of things. The Wizards may not make the playoffs, but more importantly, as Nick Ashew of NBC Sports Washington's Wizards Outsiders joins us, has Thomas Bryant stopped rolling down the court yet?
I love him so much. They need to pay him all the money in the world to keep him around. He's the best.
That was so funny. For those of you who didn't see it, he was acting as if he got fouled, but he was actually making it funny, and then he just kept rolling and rolling down the floor. I hate flopping and all that. For some reason, that just it made me laugh.
He's just a likable guy. Like, he's with all the stuff that's been negative around this team this year, and there's been plenty. And listen, the expectations versus the results this year they don't match up at all. But Thomas Bryant has been a bright spot for them. I mean, he's someone that's really stepped up and contributed a lot more than the team thought. He's likable. The fans love him. The players love him. I mean, they'll go to him late in games in clutch situations because they trust him. And this is really essentially his rookie year. It's not really, but it's kind of his rookie year considering he never played for the Lakers last year. He's great. He's restricted at the end of the year. I hope they're able to re-sign him and some team doesn't swoop in and try and overpay, but he's the type of player that every team in the NBA should want.
I love Bradley Beal. He's great, and he's having a great season. This talk of All-NBA, nice. It'd be a cool story for him to get recognition. It's actually a huge problem if he gets it, I think, for the Washington Wizards.
I know where you're going.
Tell
with
people
this.
Why.
You know, you are the first person to bring this up. And I don't know why more people aren't talking about it. And I've started to try to bring it up on Wizards Outsiders when I can, because if Bradley Beal makes All-NBA, he is then eligible for a Supermax extension starting this offseason. The Wizards already have one guy on a Supermax extension that's not playing at all next year. Then you got to deal with, well, you're going to pay Bradley Beal $200 million on top of that. And by the way, Bradley Beal will then also have the right to say, I don't want to sign it. And if he doesn't want to sign it, that shows you maybe he doesn't want to be here long term. And then as an organization, you have to say, okay, what's our contingency plan if he doesn't want to be here? There's a lot of stuff that's up in the air if just that happens.
One of your cohorts, Ben Standig, bumped into and talked to Ted Leonsis this weekend after a game and after a loss. Another hint, perhaps, that there could be change coming. Have we seen the end of Ernie Grunfeld?
I would be surprised if he's still around after this season. I think we've seen enough now, especially with this team not making the playoffs, underachieving the way that it has, having to revamp this roster. It would shock me at this point. We've gotten a lot. And listen, you can say whatever you want, but at least Ted Leonsis has been loyal to his people in his front office. Did the same thing with George McPhee for a long time. But there is a point now where you just have to say, all right, we got to move on from this. And guys, the name that I will continue to throw out there is David Griffin. That's a guy to keep an eye on as the successor, possibly.
Imagine if they'd won like three or four more games that this would all be acceptable.
Right.
They were just the eighth seed in this garbage conference. This would all be fine, and we'll just keep coming to our offices. Unreal. Glad it's happening, though. It's progress.
Nick, thank you, pal, as always.
Anytime, fellas.
You're a great-looking man.
Nice waistline.
I love you both.
We love you more than you know. Rob Gronkowski retiring.
His triceps were popping while he was
at
talking.
At 29 years old, how damaging a loss could this be for the Patriots? We'll get back into the tourney later in the hour as well on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. Rob Gronkowski stepping away from the National Football League at 29 years old. A lot of it's being made about him and his Hall of Fame candidacy. He's going to get there. And where he ranks all time among tight ends. We talked about that earlier in the show. If you missed that, you can go to thefandc.com when we're done. The part of this that I think is the bigger story is the Patriots, though. He was Tom Brady's safety valve. He was the blanket for this offense that warmed them up and kept them comfortable through the night. When he wasn't there, they're different. If you look at Brady's numbers with and without him over the last couple years, it's stark. And he goes from one of the better quarterbacks in the league to just a guy. You've seen some comments from some of the Patriots saying, we weren't really expecting this. We actually thought he would come back, even though he said he would be debating it. I think he is going to be nearly impossible to replace this coming season.
Yeah, they don't make many like that.
This is not to say that they're not going to win the division. That's a terrible division. They're going to win 10 games. They'll win the division. I think it'll really show up in the playoffs. I think it makes it harder for them to win the Super Bowl. While we were at Hollywood Casino at the Sportsbook this weekend, I put $100 on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl to pay me something like $650 or $660 bucks or whatever. I feel worse about that bet after Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement. Because let's say they draft one of the better tight ends in the NFL draft this year. Let's say it's Noah Fant from Iowa or Hockenson, his teammate, whoever it is. You can get an exceptional player at that position. They're not going to replace what Gronkowski meant to them.
It's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. I mean, Tom Curran, who covers the Patriots for NBC Sports, but up there in New England, said this is a horrible position that the Patriots are in. I mean, the numbers you touched on it with Gronkowski versus without, even it's like the DeSean Jackson corollary with Washington. Last time this offense was really good is when Jackson, yes, once every couple games is catching a 70-yarder, but the threat, the presence of him. It's like a home run hitter in the middle of the lineup. It's the home run hitter on the outside as a receiver. He commands double teams. He makes everybody else that much better. There's a reason, you know, you can alternate that. Name that jag for the Patriots who has a big day. It's Malcolm Mitchell. It's Philip Dorsett will have a huge catch. Or Chris Hogan has a huge day. Edelman has a huge day. It's because of Gronkowski. You cannot leave him alone. If he's single covered, it's a first down. If he's single covered, it's a touchdown. He's that good, and he has been that good. I think it was Boomer Esiason calling one of their games who said he's always the first option on every one of their pass plays. And I thought that was a great way to put it, right? Meaning, Brady, if the coverage is dictated a certain way, if it's Gronkowski one-on-one, he's open. Doesn't matter if a guy's touching him. Doesn't matter if a guy's covering him or not. He's open. It's now we're moving the chains. If not, now I know where I can go. We're going to see what 87's doing first before I go anywhere else. They're going to miss that. Anyone would miss that. This isn't a knock against the Patriots and the organization. You're going to miss a Hall of Fame caliber player that demands defensive coordinators stay up late at night drinking a whole bunch of coffee, rubbing their foreheads like CK looking at expense reports. It is a challenge to replace a guy like that, even with the most dynamic tight end in the draft.
Yeah, I just don't see a way that they don't fall off offensively. They've got weapons, to your point, that never get enough credit. Like, we act like the receivers that have been there have been useless over the years, and that's just not the case. Julian Edelman's terrific, and before him, Danny Amendola was awesome. And a lot of it is fit in that offense scheme. You know, Tom Brady making those guys better, obviously. Sonny Michel's an outstanding running back.
Yes, he is.
I think their offense goes through him, but your running game gets worse, to your point, without Rob Gronkowski. I think you make that point eloquently. It's not just the passing game, but honestly, that's the big area. It's the red zone. It's just when everything has fallen down around Tom Brady, he had a guy he could throw the football to. He knew where Gronk was going to be, and he was going to make the big catch. Think about the Super Bowl. They're trying to finally get on the board with a touchdown in the second half of that game. They're throwing to Rob Gronkowski. Similarly, games on the line, in the balance on that final drive where they're trying to go get points to put the game away, and Brady flicks that ball way downfield that Gronk falls down catching inside the 5-yard line with that lunging reception. He made so many of those plays over the year, and there were a bunch of those seasons where he did it. I wonder, because people always try to bury the Patriots. We do this with New England in football the same way we do this with the Warriors right now in the NBA.
Yes.
Every time they lose a couple games in a row. See?
In September,
they're susceptible. Every time they just take a night off and they don't care and they lose to the Hawks by 11 because it's the NBA, everyone goes, this is not the same Warriors team, and right now they might not get the one seed. They're choosing health or whatever it is. They didn't go back-to-back games with wins in almost a month. I think I saw something crazy like that. So now they can't win in the playoffs again. We're desperate to prove that everyone has a shot,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise it's not any fun. We're doing this for ourselves.
I know. It's justification for why there's still intrigue.
But am I crazy to say this, Danny, that a lot of the times in the past when we talked about, well, maybe this will catch up to him, maybe this story in ESPN about Belichick versus Brady could be the beginning of the end. None of it obviously has.
It never happens.
I think when you lose a weapon of this caliber, because honestly, in terms of import to that organization, it's Belichick 1, Brady 2. I think Gronk 3rd could honestly be an argument. Really. I believe you're...
In this iteration, yeah.
Could replace Edelman easily, as good as he is, with just another great route runner in the slot. To me, Jamison Crowder can do some of that stuff. You cannot replace Rob Gronkowski.
So, Patriots fans, I almost said apologists. You don't have to be an apologist to defend. No one's assailing you. Again, it's the greatest dynasty in history of sports for my money. But their record without Gronkowski is great. That's not what anybody's saying. Their record's always going to be great. They're the Patriots. They will figure out what you do, and they will know you better than you know you, and they'll beat the dumb Jets. They'll beat the dumb Dolphins. They'll beat the dumb Bills, and they're going to walk to 11 or 12 games kind of no matter what, right? They'll stub their toe into that, and they'll lose a September game as they kind of figure out who they are and then put the pedal down and be in the AFC title game, as I don't know, they've done for the last 8 years in a row. If you're talking about the top end, though, they're going to be forced to change, and that's what... Really, the amazing part of this dynasty has been to me is that when you show up and see the Patriots against the Ravens in whatever year that was where they played the Ravens in the AFC title game, they ran it twice and threw 60 times. Now you look at them and they're a running team. They're a smash mouth running team downhill behind a couple tight ends and a fullback with James Devlin leading the way and Sony Michel, as dynamic as he is, as a really smart, sharp, good, cunning runner. And they're a play-action group. They're not just a quick passing team anymore. They'll morph into something else. Their staff is excellent. Belichick is so good. You're right, it's the most important thing. Their offense is going to look different, and you just wonder how big of an impact that's going to have. It'll still be enough to win that hot garbage division, right, just because the division's so terrible.
The Dolphins are trying to lose. The Bills are trying to win, but just aren't any better than 500 at best. And the Jets aren't any good yet.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I think you could go 9-7 and get in. That's another small part of the Patriots dynasty that gets overlooked a lot, is how terrible the rest of that division has been over the years. And you shouldn't use it as a reason to take away from them, because they're a part of the reason why no one else has had a chance in the AFC East. But I think two things can be true, which is they're outstanding every year, and as you see in the playoffs, make their runs. But generally, because of that division, they don't just make the playoffs automatically. They get a bye, because they get six games. They should win 4 every year. They should go 4-2 in the division, if not 5-1 or better, because the teams they play are so terrible.
Yeah, more than a third of their schedule is basically you're going to win 80% of the games you play.
It's nice. That's a
bonus to have.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. The NCAA tournament was tremendous over the weekend. The Zion Williamson show was on display, and we got two teams from Virginia still alive in the Sweet 16 with games coming to D.C. Let's break it down next on the Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you listening to the show as always. Thanks much for making G&D part of your day. Got a huge week in sports ahead, so you're going to want to keep it locked on the Fan. No one going to get you better prepared or covered for Nats opening day on Thursday, of course. You will hear every pitch and every homer, not just of opening day baseball, but of the entire 162-game slate.
Where do they play those games? Like on the radio, where are they broadcast?
Flagship home, baby.
Oh, yeah.
106.7 The Fan. We're also going to get you up to speed on the tournament Friday night. You got Virginia Tech and Duke from Capital One Arena, of course, early next week. 8 days from now, Bryce Harper makes his return to Nationals Park. Think about that. We're only 8 days away from Bryce taking on the Nats.
The first of whatever 19 times 13 is.
Now, unfortunately, Anibal Sanchez is going to start that first game, as Jesse Dougherty told us on the show earlier today. But we will get Max Scherzer against Bryce on April 3rd.
Day game, I believe, on the 3rd, if memory is serving.
It feels right.
Yeah.
You know what I'd prefer is for it to be in this time slot.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Can I get a quick look at the start time? I'm going to assume that's a 4:05 Chad Dukes versus the World boost.
In your latest Life Isn't Fair
But
rankings.
I would like a Grant and Danny boost that. Mobile.
Phil, let me see. Mets Nationals, Phillies Nationals. Oh! On the third day of April 2019, the year of our Lord, the Philadelphia Phillies shall take on the Washington Nationals 1:05 post-meridian.
Yeah, Bryce.
Everybody gets some. You get some. You get a Nats game in your time slot. You get a Nats game in your
Bryce
time slot.
Bryce versus Max in our time slot. Bryce versus Max in our time slot.
It's not a big deal. I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh.
This just in. We're broadcasting from the park, and we might stick around. That's fun.
Bryce versus Max in our time slot.
I want Max to come in to the ring like Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I want the Bushwhackers. I want him, as FP says, smuggling sheep, where he's got his arms out wide and he's stalking around the mound.
Strike his ES out.
I only got one thing to say to you, Vaughn. Let's go.
Let's go.
I want him to wear a golden sombrero of shame for turning his back on us.
There was a text sent to Max Scherzer about a day after Bryce Harper signed with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Okay.
There was a text sent to him.
What did it say?
It was in his inbox.
Uh-huh.
It came from someone who works on this show.
Let me see. Was it? Tommy's looking puzzled, so it wasn't him. Dar's a sneaky, maybe an underdog here, maybe a good value bet.
Okay.
And I know it wasn't me.
That text message to Max Scherzer said, I've never wanted, no, needed, a three-pitch strikeout more. I will not tell you what the response to that text message was.
Oh, Billy.
I will not tell you what the response to that text message was, or if there was a response to that text message.
You can't claim either way.
Just know that on behalf of all of you, Max has been notified what you're looking for, what you're wanting, what you are needing by the Grant and Danny radio program. Tom, you missed the big announcement, by the way. Max versus Bryce, April 3rd, in our time slot. Boys and girls, let's kick our feet up. In the words of the great John Thompson, let's eat a sausage sandwich.
Eat a sausage sandwich.
And let's just, you know what we should do? We should just make plans on what we're going to do with that ratings bonus.
In the great words of Doug Williams, let's all soak in the hot tub and look each other in the eye. No, different theme.
Let's all soak and look each other in the face.
Can I also add as a bonus? So a lot of times.
Did he say have a soak?
I think did he say have a soak? Can you clarify that, Tommy?
Let's take a soak.
Take a soak.
Let's soak over it.
Soak over it.
And look at each other.
When we go to, we have our ratings dinners, which, by the way, we still got to do the last ones. My fault we missed the last ones.
We have a couple of them.
We have a couple.
We're a couple in the rearview mirror.
We're in the red. We have a lovely steak and a great dinner. And then it's like, oh, you want some dessert, too? Here's your dessert. How about consecutive days? The Metropolitans come to town, and on Thursday, 1:10 p.m. first pitch.
No.
Here we go.
Let's go, Nets!
Look at this.
You know, I just thought of something.
What's that?
And now I'll say it, and then hopefully no one does it, because then it will be suspects.
Daytime gigs!
What if we just did something to, like, damage the lights at Nats Park so that they had to kick it old-school Cubs style? Where
they destroyed this podcast.
They could only play at 1:05 every day.
You know it's a dream come true for your pal. That's what I want.
That would be.
I'm Hall & Oates-ing that.
What if Nats Park was the new Wrigley Field, and they only played during the day? Old school WGN style.
Old school Andy style.
Kids are getting off the bus, rushing home, and the games are just starting in the time slot. What do we think about that?
You know how I would feel about that. I think day baseball is the greatest gift in the history of mankind. Let's accept it. Let's just accept that gift.
All right, let's get to some college tournament breakdowns. We'll start you off with Virginia Tech. They are moving on thanks to Kerry Blackshear I want you to hear what Kerry Blackshear said about his chance to play Zion Williamson in a second. But here's what you got to know about 19 points and 9 rebounds for him as Virginia Tech hung on to beat Liberty, the 12 seed. He was the best player on the floor for the Hokies, but he wasn't the only guy flirting with a double-double. Ty Outlaw actually got one, 10 and 11. Now for those bigs in the post, Zion and Duke await. Good luck.
He's a really great player. They're a really great team. With or without him, they got 5 really good guys on the floor. And we got J-Rob back, so that does so much for our team. We're excited to have an opportunity to play them again, especially on a neutral site in Washington, D.C., so and the Sweet 16. So opportunity to get to the Elite Eight.
Elite Eight in Virginia Tech.
Could happen, man.
How amazing would that be for Buzz Williams in that program? I got a bunch of buddies that went to Tech. You know, you make fun of my hometown, which is the greatest county in the country, King George, Virginia.
It's number one.
It's number one in a lot of lists, a lot of categories.
Mm-hmm.
But the school I'd say that is most prevalent for our seniors to go to might be Virginia Tech. So I got a lot of friends that went there and just texting on some different chains and some different pals last night. They're emotional, man. This is uncharted territory now and uncharted waters for this team. You get to the Sweet 16 for the first time in a lot of people's lifetime. And they're starting to dream a little bit about a possible Elite Eight. Now, before the tournament started, I'll admit, all of those same people basically gave them no chance against Duke and said, if we just got to Capital One Arena, if I got to pay a ton of money and go to that game and see them play Duke and they compete,
that we're here,
I'll be happy. But now they've gotten here. They're starting to feel it a little bit after last night's win over Liberty. It was not easy, but they pulled it off. This is from TBS.
Liberty's season will come to an end here in San Jose. As the final seconds come off the clock. As the Hokies dance will continue. For only the second time in school history, Virginia Tech is past the second round. And they have punched their ticket to the Sweet 16.
Spiro Dides on the call. Unfortunately for Maryland, a gut-wrenching loss for Mark Turgeon's team. They did a lot right in the second half against LSU. Got off to maybe a slower start than they would have liked, but they played a gutsy game. Battled back. I couldn't believe they took a late lead. They really had a chance to win. And then one big shot after another made by the Tigers down the stretch. I felt for Maryland.
Me too.
A lot of people have been crushing Mark Turgeon. He deserves a lot of credit for their tournament performance.
Agreed. I am one of those people that thinks he's a good recruiter but not a great in-game head coach, and you're just kind of cursed with this or stuck with it, so to speak, where you have talented players, but sort of underachieving result. That was a great game. Those kids fought and fought, and they got back into it with defense. That, again, credit to Turgeon, adjustment by kind of what they were doing. LSU's offense looked like sometimes LSU's football offense does when they go up against Alabama, where they can't do anything and can't move. They were gross for a while. Then it just was some hero ball back and forth. Maryland's best offense was Jalen Smith and some of that offensive rebounding and man, oh, man, what a crushing defeat. You know, they would have had a chance to match up again against Michigan State, a team, a juggernaut from their conference, but might have been fun facing those guys one more time. But credit to those kids, man. They played hard.
Mark Turgeon coached that group for the final time.
The hardest part about today is I love coaching these guys. And, you know, we started at the summer. We went on a trip, and we stuck together, and it was a grind. Our schedule was ridiculous. Okay, we had 8 out of 11 on the road. It was a grind, and these guys, they kept trying for me, and we really pushed for this weekend. We really felt like I really pushed them for this weekend. I knew we were going to play good basketball this weekend because I pushed them in practice towards this weekend.
Ian Eagle has been on the call of some of these tournament games. We will talk about the madness of the weekend with one of CBS and Turner's best broadcasters coming up in about 18 minutes. At 1 o'clock. Next on Grant and Danny, a lot of you guys getting ready to head over to Nationals Park today for a exhibition, quote-unquote, spring training game, the tune-up against the Yankees. What if we got a little Anthony Rendon news before opening day? Can we get an extension done, please?
Oh, I would like that.
Wouldn't that be nice? What has to happen to get a deal done with Rendon? Next on The Fan. Thanks to Papa John's for the delicious free food today. Old Bay is the iconic flavor of the Chesapeake region, and Papa John's is proud to introduce Old Bay wings to their new local flavors. Order yours today from your locally owned and operated Papa John's.
Those wings were legit, man.
They're fantastic.
They were dry rubbed, grilled. You and I pummeled them. Muy delicioso.
Yeah, we really like those. And we can eat those. Those are EMP friendly. 250 thou, that's a keeper.
I went home to that one.
We liked it. Tommy want wingy. Did you see the buzzer beater last night?
The old Jeremy Lamb buzzer beater? Just
Jeremy
as you draw
Lamb
it up.
From Charlotte.
Throw it off your ankle, roll it past half court, and bank it in from 60 feet.
That was incredible. And they needed that game, too.
Yeah, they're desperate.
I mean, they're scratching and clawing for every win to try to get into the playoffs at this point. It was huge. But everyone in the arena, because they were playing in Toronto, where the Raptors are really good, standing up, they're already counting their chickens, they've won the game. And then Lamb throws, basically soccer-style, a ball from half court, off balance, and it ends up going in. It was incredible. Buzzer beaters in the NBA from distance are still some of the greatest things we have in sports. Because the chances of actually coming through are so rare.
But because you play quarters instead of halves, you get one at the end. There's like double the opportunity for the old buzzer beater, right? And the shot clock, end of shot clock. So it always feels like nothing but last second shots kind of go on. And those guys are so good, you know?
Fox Sports Southeast on the call.
Lamb lost it.
For sure.
Good golly, Miss Molly. He did it.
Gus. Oh, Gus on Fox Sports 1. Who'd have thought, by the way, all those tournament games and the buzzer beater of the weekend came from the NBA. I was thinking about all the extensions being signed around Major League Baseball. The Astros every few days are locking up another one of their best players.
Verlander the latest, right?
Yep. So they went 5-100 with Alex Bregman. They went multiple years, $17 million with reliever Ryan Pressly. Then they went with a two-year, $66 million deal for Justin Verlander, who's entering the final year of his contract. The $33 million makes him the highest-paid starting pitcher on an AAV basis in the sport because there's some deferments in Zach Greinke's deal with the Diamondbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually right around $32.5 million. But you add to that the fact that Eloy Jimenez of the White Sox, who's never played a day in the big leagues, one of their elite-level, incredible prospects, just got a six-year extension for a little over $40 million, as did a guy named Brendan Lau, who played at the University of Maryland in the Tampa Bay Rays system, who barely got to the majors at the end of last season, just got a nice extension. Teams are now trying to get guys signed before free agency more than they used to. Look at Nolan Arenado of the Rockies, the best third baseman in baseball. And what it got me thinking was, why don't the Nats do everything in their power right now? Push the chips in if you have to. Pay a little bit more than you wanted to, and pay Anthony Rendon and get him extended. End an offseason that was really, really good and make it excellent by re-signing Rendon. And what would be awesome is, remember a few years ago when they opened at home, and that morning it came out that Mike Rizzo had signed an extension? And one of the big stories was they were going into what could have been his last year.
Oh, that's right.
And like the day of the opener at Nats
Park. It was like the good feelings tour.
Exactly.
Yes, good pull by you.
Let's do that act again with Anthony Rendon. Yeah, we didn't sign Bryce Harper. We didn't think we should have. But we know we got to sign Anthony Rendon. And we're not cheap. And we're not doing this deferment routine. He's going to get paid. And here's the evidence. Six-year extension for Anthony Rendon, not going anywhere, whatever it is. What do we say? Let's do this right here, right now.
I wonder how far apart they are. Because I wonder if the Nats did the Nats move, which is, we like you. Here's money until you're 60. You know, I wonder if they said, hey, right now we don't have budget for it. Look at our salary commitments, et cetera. And if the contract wouldn't take effect this year because they've already got something on the books now, so it'd be an extension. But if they did a thing like that, then maybe that's just, it's not going to happen. Maybe they're just speaking two different languages. If it's a matter of a few dollars here or there, to me it's kind of like, well, we got Bregman right here. We got Arenado right here. Sliding scale somewhere in between is Anthony Rendon. Let's go.
Yeah, but there's a lot of ground to cover there. That's $155 million.
It's a pretty big ground
you know?
To cover.
So it's not like you could just slot him in between $12 million and $14
million. You want to average
13.
Him?
What are you going to do, split the difference? Not to mention Bregman's situation is complicated because Bregman extension only works because he's buying out arbitration years, meaning he wasn't going to be a free agent for several seasons anyway. He just took a raise right away in the $20 million AAV over what he got in arbitration, or what he would be getting in arbitration for a couple seasons, to basically give up money on the back end for a year or so in free agency. So if he was a free agent this year, the chances of being able to sign him for $500,000 is 0%. So I don't know that the Nats can really negotiate off that. But I do think, to your point, and this is where I think you're spot on, Danny, because Arenado got his deal done, how's it possible that it wouldn't get easier to extend him now? He's the best third baseman in the National League, narrowly, but better than Rendon. So you've now got a ceiling here to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Boris and Rendon can say, we want more than Nolan Arenado.
They might try that because it's the latest, but we all know, right? So it's going to settle underneath that somewhat?
Offer him $20 million less, settle on $10 million less, and announce the transaction on opening day. You're going to have to overpay some of your own guys occasionally. You just have to, unless you're going to let them all walk. I'm cool with letting Bryce Harper walk. I can get behind a lot of the moves, but at some point, you got to pay the piper. If it's not Ian Desmond, you were right on that. It's not Jordan Zimmermann, you were right on that.
Yeah, you offered an amount you weren't willing to go past for what turned out to be prescient and smart reasons.
I think Rendon's the first guy that you really have to get done. I didn't say they had to re-sign Bryce Harper. I think they have to re-sign Anthony Rendon. You got a good plan coming to fruition without Bryce Harper for the future, but a lot of that plan, in the middle of that plan, is number six, man, Tony Two Bags. He is an exceptional defensive third baseman. He is the prototypical lead-by-example guy in that clubhouse. He's available to you, and when he's in the lineup every day, he's had some injuries over the last few years, obviously, not in the way of a Ryan Zimmerman or Worth or any of those guys, but when he's available, he is for it, good at bats, every day in waiting with plus defense.
What would you offer? Like, what would it be? Because you look at Arenado, the way it's structured, it's basically...
Did he get 8 and 260?
8 and 260, and mostly it's $35 million in 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24, and then it dips a little bit on the back end, 32 and 27, his final 2 years.
I would offer right now, because this is the beginning of the negotiation, okay?
Okay.
Knowing I'm coming up, I would offer 8 and 225 today. And I think that gets you in the conversation. Now, when he turns that down, because it's Boris, and they'll say, you've embarrassed us, you've disappointed us,
this is a transcendent value player,
eventually I go 8 and 250. And if I have to get it done at $10 million less than Arenado at 8 and 250, I will do that. And I will, he is my guy. He's the face of this thing. I'm building around him. I chose to build around him rather than Harper. But that's kind of where I think I can get him done. I don't think you have to worry about going above that. There is no claim that can be made that he should be making Arenado money. There really isn't. That guy's 40 and 130 homers and RBI every single season.
Oh, he's a superstar.
It's a now, show.
Yeah. And,
and he's a better defensive player.
He's maybe the best in the sport. The bat plays everywhere. The glove plays everywhere, et cetera.
Top five MVP guy every year in the NL for the life of that contract.
Now, it's not his fault, but Rendon hasn't even been an all-star. Right? Now, he should have been, obviously, a couple times over. But he's also occasionally had slow first halves before he does that like 6-for-6 against the Mets to kickstart a season. He gets his baseball card numbers every year.
I want to know what they did offer, because Rendon says they're not really close right now.
I would love to know.
If they offered 8 and 225 and they're not close, well, that's got nothing to do with the Nationals. If they offered 8 and 200, well, that's not a good offer.
Yeah, like the number that I thought of was, you know, eight years or maybe like 7 years at 25 a year.
I think that's too low.
Which I think is too low. That's the number. I mean, I have no information. I'm not talking to any sources here.
What would that do that math?
A total of 175.
No chance.
So Bregman is at 5 and 100. Arenado at 8 and 260. So I thought maybe they went, well, we'll give you the AAV that Bryce just took.
But again, the Bregman deal has nothing. You cannot base anything on this deal on the Bregman deal, because it's all based on buying out the arbitration on a rookie contract.
Right.
He'd be making rookie money right now. Rendon is a whole different ballgame because he's going to hit free agents.
No, I agree. I'm saying, I'm like, again, this is me guessing. I think that's what they did, and I'm with you. You can't do that.
We could talk more about Rendon getting an extension, final hour of the show. Next, our buddy. I like saying that, even if it's not true, because I love
good
him
friends.
So much.
We have an apartment together.
Ian Eagle, one of the great broadcasters in the game on the tournament contest, he called.
Window Nation, people. Window Nation. It's Grant Nanny for our friends at Window Nation. Spring, she's pretty much here, dude. It's happened. It's nice today. It was nice yesterday. The windows were all open in the Ruge household. I had no problem opening them. Why? Because I went with Window Nation many moons ago. Are your windows cracked, drafty? All signs that you need new windows. Spring into action, meow, for a huge Window Nation savings. You get two free windows for every two that you buy.
That's right. You're buying two and you are getting two. plus getting a house of windows for $69 a month. Amazing deal from Window Nation. Think about it. Less than a cup of coffee, gallon of gas, or milk, $2 a day to get these windows installed. Now's the time to take advantage of this limited-time event. Window Nation offers 1,500 custom window and door style combinations designed and engineered to tame the weather conditions that are so weird this time of year. A-plus rating, Better Business Bureau. Doesn't get better than Window Nation, people. There is no limit. Full house of windows, $69 a month. Hurry, as the offer is not going to last long. How about you call them up at 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, or go to windownation.com.
You have to tell them. You must tell them, Grant.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.